you and I have received from God the greatest gift you can ever receive. When God sent Jesus for you and for me, He sent Jesus for a purpose. Well, we are His purpose individually. Did you know that if you were the only human being ever born, that God would have sent Jesus for you?
Amen.
God would have sent Jesus to die on the cross for you. That's because as individuals, we are important. And God said, I want you to know this, that when you say yes to my Son, I will count you as being in Christ, in Jesus. I said yes to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. When I said that, I became in Christ, Christ in me. Jesus says, now you're mine, all mine. Nobody can take you away from me, Larry. Not even you. Because God looked at human nature. And when He looked at human nature, He said that we were a mess. He said, I know now that man's heart is evil continually. Man must be recreated. And the only hope that the human race has is to be recreated in Christ. Amen. Our salvation. Born again, born from above, born anew. I don't care how you say it. But new in Christ. And He says, I'm doing it for a very, very special reason. A person in Christ is a new person. A new person. So when I said yes to Jesus Christ, when you said yes to Jesus Christ, I don't care about your age. You became a new person. Now, some of us, I will admit, some of us who were saved real young, I was 8, or thereabouts, when I said yes to Jesus. Some of us, that new smell, odor has gone. You know what a new car smells like? You say, I got to keep that new car smell. And a new car smells just great until human beings have ridden in it for a while. Does that tell you anything else? God says that I want you to know that you are a new person. And you're going to smell like a new person all the way through. That's got to be spiritual. That has to be spiritual. I love you. You're new. You're my child. I'm going to bring you home one day. But Jesus said, I'm going to keep you new. Now, Larry, I love you. I love you as much today as I loved you the day you said yes to me and before. I've always loved you. There has never been a time when God does not love His creation, His children. The only way that I could come to Christ is through love, God's love. The only way that I could even express that I love Christ is because He first loved me. The human nature will not allow us to do it that way. Because we have to battle too much of the human part. We're corrupt. We try to control your thoughts. See, didn't work, did it? Now, do you ever try to concentrate when you're praying? You know, I've got this, I'm going to pray about this, I'm not going to think about anything else. And you get to praying, Did you ever get to the point like your pastor does sometime, and then all of a sudden you forgot what you was praying about? But you can always pick up on something else. But God never forgets. Larry, you're a new creation in me, and you'll stay new. Jesus keeping me polished. Now, you see what the world's done to me. Not too shiny. Well, my head. But not too shiny. Not too polished. Breaking down. Putting in, replacing the old parts with new parts. But the real me, I'm still brand new. To Jesus, I'm still brand new. To Jesus, you're still brand new. You don't age with Jesus. There's no such thing as aging in your spirit. The real you is coming out of that broken body one day, and praise God, you're shiny. You're you. You will know your thoughts. Sure, you'll even remember your preacher. Oh, I hope it's good thoughts. But think of that. God says you are a new person, 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means, being in Christ, that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. Oh, now, Lord, my old life is gone, my new life has begun. How come, then, that I've got so much trouble with this human old life? Because you're still in the human old body. You're still in a corrupt nature. Thing that has changed and made you new is the born-again you, the real you that's inside. You're not going to, hey, people are not going to judge you by what your car looks like. But God looks at us. And he says, I'm going to keep you new. In Christ. That means I'm not going to lose my odor of Christianity. I'm going to be smelling good for Jesus. A new creation. But my inner me, the real me, fights against the outer me, does it not? Do you not find your spirit fighting your body and your thoughts? Do you not catch yourself and say, I shouldn't do that? I'm glad I caught myself. You didn't catch yourself. That's Jesus. That's that new nature that is in you that tells you when you're walking in one way or driving one way and the Lord says, go this way. And you go the way of the Lord and you miss a mess. Or if he leads you into a mess, will that happen? Yeah. If I'm needed in a mess, God's going to direct me to the mess. You got the point? But it's still going to be me, and I'm still going to be shiny. A person in Christ is a person with power. Power! Everlasting, awesome power! Wonder-working power! Automatic song. Wonder-working power in the blood of Christ. Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you. Present tense. God is working in you. For those of you who say, well, you know, God doesn't talk to me anymore. Yes, he's talking to you. He is working in you. Slow the world down on the outside and lift the voice of Christ up. Turn his volume up and the volume of the world down and listen to him, because in him is power. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. So don't you say, well, I can't do it, Lord. I'm giving you the power. Moses tried that with God. Didn't work. God sent him anyway. Lord, I can't talk. People are not going to understand. Who am I to go to Pharaoh? I'm a nobody. Who will I tell them sent me? God said, you tell them I am sent you. I am all there is. All power, all glory. I am sent you, Moses. Moses did not go on his own power. 80 years old. And God said, Moses, go lead my children out of bondage. But you know what had taken place 40 years sooner? God said, Moses, lead my children out of bondage. You know what Moses' problem was? Moses wanted to do it in his own power. So he decides to do his own killing, his own taking of life. And he was sent out 40 years. Then the voice of God comes back, burning bush experience. Moses, go lead them out. Now Moses has had a whole life, 40 years is a whole life. Got a whole family now. And God says, 80 years old, still a young man, Moses. Woo! I got something to look forward to. I haven't got there yet. Now I want you to go. Did you know the difference? Moses went in God's power. Moses proclaimed the word of God, God's power. God is working in you, giving you the desire. Moses had already figured out, I didn't do so hot 40 years ago, Lord. Giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him, God. Do what pleases God. How did Moses please God? He did it God's way. He didn't need an army. He didn't need to kill. All he needed to do was stand, and thus saith the Lord my God, let my people go. He said it to Satan. God did. Let my people go. Don't kill Job. Let my people go. And anyone who calls on the name of the Lord is free. Free indeed. Amen. Because by order of God, His word, you have the power. You have the power to turn and run from Satan. No, I want to stand there and I want to fight Satan. No, you don't. I don't either. He's an ugly sucker. You don't want to mess with him. He's had 7,000 more years of experience in a human weakness than you have. And he's going to win. Well, what do I do? Tell God on him. Lord, what do you want me to do? And do what God calls you to do. And that's exactly what Moses did. And he was triumphant in leading God's children to the promised land. I want each and every one in the sound of my voice to come to the promised land. I want to see you in the promised land. We might not get to meet, my goodness, as far as our broadcast goes, in 130-some nations. I don't know who hears it, but I know God's word, once it is sown, does not return void. His word will be planted somewhere. I get to meet you in the promised land. We're on a journey, folks, to the promised land. And when you get to the river and God makes the hole, go to the promised land. When you see Jesus, when you met Jesus, you said yes. You became a new person with power in Christ. Guaranteed victory. Well, victory in Jesus? There's another one, Randy. Victory in Jesus? Think of it. Then a person in Christ is a person with God's gift. You got a gift. Yes, you do. You have a gift direct from God. Well, I don't know what it is. Well, did you ever try doing something to see? Did you ever just attempt to do something? I thought I had a gift to sing. Yep. I couldn't get past Big Bad John, so it was obvious I did not have the gift to sing. But God said, I'll give you the gift to preach my word. Teach it. Romans 6:23. For the wage of sin is death. Why have we worked so hard to die? But the gift of God, gift. I didn't earn it. Gift of God. Wage of sin, you got to work to go to hell. Now you hear me. You got to work hard. How can you miss such love that's right in front of you? But the wages of that sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. Where? In Christ Jesus our Lord. Woo! I'm in Christ.
Amen.
I didn't earn it, but I know Him. I don't deserve Him, but I love Him. I don't understand Him, but I don't have to. I don't understand me, but Jesus does. It's really good for us to know that there's somebody in our life that really knows us. Now, I know your loved ones close to you say, I know you. No, they don't, do they? No, they don't. You don't even know what I'm thinking right now. You don't know me. But Jesus says, I know you. Yes, Lord, you do. But you know something? Jesus knows me and He loves me anyway. He knows me and He loves me anyway. He saved me knowing that I would mess up the next day. And He loves me anyway. He saved me knowing what would happen in combat. And He loves me anyway. He saved me anyway. He expressed His love to the point on earth that it was Him who allowed the tree to grow that His cross would be made out of. Now, think of it from the human standpoint. I had the power to keep that tree from growing that my child would be crucified on. My human nature tells me it ain't growing, right? It ain't growing. God let it grow. Jesus let it grow, knowing He was going to go on it. And the curse that was on the ground from Adam's time, thorns would come up. And you'd till the ground with the thorns and the thickets. Those thorns would be made to go on the head of Jesus. And He let the thorn bush grow anyway. Think of it. Because in Christ, there had to be a debt paid. And Jesus was the only one who could pay it. And frankly, He's the only one who would pay it. We can talk a big game sometimes about what we're going to do if this happens or that happens. We can say it all we want, folks, until it happens. Then the action that you take so often are completely the opposite of what you thought you would do. You react differently. First time I ever came under fire. On the porch in Santo Domingo. I knew as a young Marine, I could handle anything. Well, I'll eat those bullets as they come at me. People, I couldn't move. This 18-year-old Marine was sitting there on the porch with the rounds coming in, and I froze. I would have cried, but nothing worked. Froze fear. And then I've always said that lieutenant reached that arm around a doorway and dragged me in. He's the same one that later on told me, get your head down, stupid. I knew exactly who he's talking to. Knew exactly who it was. But that's not how I thought I would act. It's different. So's life. Life is not the way I thought it would be. I was so excited after serving as chaplain for so many years and being called to Van Grove Baptist Church, and I thought, Lord, that's such a blessing. I have fought the criminal element for so many years. I was in what they call a segregated, criminally insane unit in prison as a chaplain. I get to go now and preach your word in a real church where everybody in the church loves each other and never says any. I read the book. It says you're to love your fellow man and you never speak evil of your brother or sister and do all of this. I'm getting to go in there where the Christian family never. They never even hardly fuss. Woo! Did I get a surprise? You don't know what the church can do till you've been to the First Baptist business meeting. And I think, Lord, can I go back to prison? Think of that, though. I didn't think it would be that way. Then I realized something. Lord, most of the time it only takes us maybe 6, 8 years or whatever to get our master's or whatever. We were going to be getting our PhDs or whatever. You kept me in that prison 30 years just to train me to be a pastor. 30 years. But you know what? In the prison system, I found out something. I don't care how hardcore that inmate was. When Christ put his hand on him, there was a change that you can't imagine. I would get to see the glow from the eyes. And it's one of those situations where when you look at them and they said, I accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and you can see that it's real. Jesus is real in them. They're sincere. So from the depths of hell itself, cried I, and you heard me. You heard me. That's what Jonah said when he was in the belly of the great fish. From the belly in the depths of hell, I cried, and you heard me. And Satan had no authority then but to spit him out. Folks, you and I have been given a gift in Christ, and that gift is each other. That gift is each other. That's why now you hear your pastor say, I love you every Sunday. I tell you all that. I love you. That wasn't easy for me to say. Matter of fact, I used to not say it much at all. But that was me. Because, see, we get caught up in the bad parts of life, and too often we don't look at the good part. See, the good part of you and the good part of me is on the inside. You can't see my spirit. That's why we need the bodies to be able to relate to each other here on earth. Soon you will have a spiritual body. And according to Scripture, we'll look just like you. So that means that God did not make a mistake in how you look. You can get off that kick too. You look exactly the way He wanted you to. Really? Yep. He looks at the inner you. What does He see when He looks at the real you? See, He looks past all the garbage. He knows us. He said so. I know the man's heart is evil continually. So He looks past that and sees the real me, the real you on the inside. And He said, I love you. You're in Christ. You are my child. A person in Christ is a person who survives. Now you listen to this one. All the way back to Isaiah, God's prophet. Isaiah 43:2. When you go through deep waters, ever been through deep waters? Man alive, that floods, doesn't it? When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. I don't need a life preserver. I got Jesus. You hear me? I got Jesus. He showed us a big deal of what he could do, didn't he? Ask Peter that one. Peter's walking on the water. Good gracious, Peter. You're walking on water. Come on. Jesus is who he claims to be. But what happened with Peter? He started looking at the waves around him, took his eyes off Jesus, and started to sink. And he cried out, Lord, save me. And the scripture says, Jesus reached down, grabbed him, and brought him up. Woo! When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. He knows that when I'm in this world, that the world's going to attempt to pull me under. But he teaches me this. Cry out to me. I got you. I'll never let go of you. I just want you to realize that, Larry. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. Do you ever think all the problems that's loaded in your life that it's just going to smother you to death? I noticed another suicide in our community this past week. And you look at it, and you and I can make no sense of that. And it kills us, doesn't it? I don't have to know the person. I know individuals who have and who have went through it, and it was my calling to talk to them and get them out of that frame of mind. But the hurt is there, and the brokenness is there. And Jesus says, in me you will not drown. Please don't take your life, those who are listening to me this morning. Those who have an idea, maybe this is the way out. Don't do that. Wait a minute. It changes. Your feelings change. Your human emotions change. Give it a second. Jesus created you for a purpose. You are in him. You will not drown. Jesus never made a promise he hadn't kept. He never made a promise he hadn't kept. Did he not say, I'll never leave you nor forsake you? That's why I preach the gospel and encourage so much for families, for all to come to Christ. That's our only protection. When you walk through the fire of oppression, man, in our society today, it's a burning fire just about everywhere you go. I don't care what street you get on. There's a fire blazing on that street. You will not burn up. You will not burn up. You will not burn up. He's saying, go through the fire, Larry. The fire can't touch you. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego cast into the midst of the fiery furnace. What happens, King? He gets all upset. Whoa! Did we not throw three men bound into the midst of the flaming furnace? Yes, O King, we did. Then who's that fourth one down there? What in the world are they doing walking around that's supposed to be burning up? And the sign of the fourth is like the sign of God, his son. His son. The flames will not consume you. They're going to get hot in life. Those flames get hot. But don't you worry. I'm in Christ. He knows when to turn the fan on. He knows if it gets too hot, he'll pull me out. But my job and your job as a Christian is to you walk into the flame. Don't you hold back because of your human fear, your human emotions. You walk straight into the midst of the flame. If God sends you to it, because you're going to be looking good on the other side. He says, where I send you, you go. And I say to you, my friends, where Jesus sends you, and when you go, you will conquer. I don't care what's in front of you. I don't care if it's a mountain. If it needs moving, it might as well count itself out of there. It's gone. That's the fact of the Word of God. I got you. Oh, Peter, why didn't you just believe? He'd done pretty good walking on water. You know, you'd think that that would be a pretty good sign, wouldn't it? But the world makes us fear. Don't be afraid. Whatever journey you're going through, Jesus said, I'll go through that journey with you. It hurts. Life hurts. Life hurts. But I can tell you this. Jesus took every hurt and every pain that would ever destroy you on himself. So life cannot hurt you to death. Doesn't have that authority. Satan can't even take your life. Sure, you go ahead and do anything to Job you want to, but you don't touch his life. Now that's a voice of authority. And all the testing that he went through. Do you know what's brought out in Scripture? And in all this, Job did not charge God foolishly. You know what a foolish charge is? To curse God because you're going through pain and tribulation. The only hope you have. Job did not charge God foolishly. It's the Word of God. In Christ I am. In Christ I will stand. In Christ I will leave this body. And in Christ I'm going supper time. You know, you all hear me talk about that so much, you all think I'm going to want to stay at the table all that time, don't you? I'm thinking I might want to do that too. But it's supper time. I read the book. I know the author of the book personally. He signed, autographed my life with his blood. Sealed by the blood of the Lamb. Well, they ought to work on a song on that one, Randy. By the blood of the Lamb. Let's pray. Father, we praise your holy name and thank you for love. The love that you give us to give to others. The hope that you give us, dear Heavenly Father, to share with others. The encouragement, dear Lord God, to stand up for those who don't have it. And the holy boldness, though we tremble and shake, that we go anyway. Only you can give us that. We ask your blessing now as we make commitments to you. In Jesus' name, amen.